And he's going to give us his commentary on what is a double Torah portion, since last week we celebrated Purim, and we skipped last week's parasha. So, Roman, welcome back, and we look forward to hearing your commentary. Thank you.
Well, good morning, and Shabbat Shalom, everyone. As Rabbi Lawrence said, this week's parasha is a double portion, and it's entitled Sav and Shemini, and it covers Leviticus chapter 6, verse 8, through chapter 11, verse 47. Tzav means give the command, because Adonai commanded Moses how various offerings were to be carried out, and in turn, Moses commanded Aaron and his sons how to carry out their priestly duties. Shemini means the eighth, referring to the eighth day of the inauguration of the tabernacle, which was actually its first real functioning day after about 7 days of special dedication rituals and sacrifices performed by Moses and Aaron and the other priests. We begin in chapters 6 and 7, where Adonai outlines the laws of the grain offering, the sin offering and peace offerings, the prohibition against eating fat or blood, the portion that Aaron and his sons will receive, and finally, how Aaron and his sons are to be consecrated. All the offerings listed here were completely voluntary and meant to bring the people closer to the living God, because where our heart is, so too will our giving be. Leading by example, God demonstrated his love for fallen humanity so much that he gave, and not just anything, but he gave his one and only Son. Likewise, if we love the Lord and are thankful for his salvation, we should be willing to give him all that he asks. For the people of Moses' time, it was bulls, goats, and rams. But today, he asks for our obedience and that we follow his son, Messiah Yeshua. The offerings described in Tzav foreshadow Messiah's character and his work. The burnt offerings show us his provision of atonement. The requirement that the animals be flawless foreshadowed Messiah's sinless nature. The grain offerings remind us how Messiah Yeshua was wholly devoted to the Father's purpose. The peace offerings, which characterized reconciliation and fellowship with God, show that Messiah was one with the Father, enabled us to be at peace with him also. The sin and trespass offerings, which were provisions of appeasement, symbolized the future substitution that Messiah himself would provide at such great cost to himself in order to bring redemption to us. Chapter 7, verses 28 through 37 cover the priest's portion of the offerings. From the peace offerings, the Lord was to receive the blood and the fat, while the priest received the breast and the right thigh, and the worshiper kept the rest for himself. The wave offerings discussed in verses 30 through 32 were symbolic acts indicating that the offering was for the Lord. According to Exodus 38, the wave offerings could include bread, meat, oil, or grain, and even gold might be given as a wave offering. To consecrate means to set something apart solely for divine purposes. In chapter 8, Aaron and his sons are consecrated to be the first in a long line of Israel's priests. Now, centuries earlier, the patriarchs offered sacrifices to God themselves. But with the ordination of Aaron and his sons, Israel's worship became formalized with a fully prescribed priestly service. This consecration not only set Aaron apart from the rest of the congregation to be a priest to God, but it also distinguished him from the other priest to be the Kohanim HaGadol, or the high priest. This ceremony would eventually be repeated each time a new priest was installed into office. They were consecrated first by washing, which signifies being cleansed of sin. And this reminds us that Messianic Jews and Christians are to be immersed in water when we become committed followers of Messiah. Moses, acting on God's behalf, then clothed Aaron in his high priestly garments, which was a foreshadowing of the glories of Messiah. He was then anointed, the oil being poured on his head, and this separated him from his sons in a special way, as in their case, the anointing from the altar would be sprinkled on them. On the inaugural day, Moses commanded Aaron and the people to bring sacrifices to the tabernacle. For today, God will appear to you, which was, after all, the very purpose of the tabernacle. Aaron and his sons prepared the animal sacrifices as commanded, and as it was hoped for, the glory of God appeared to the entire nation. Scripture says, "And fire went out from before God and consumed the burnt offering and the fats which were on the altar, And the entire nation saw and celebrated and fell on their faces. This moment was all of what this preparation and the work and the ritual was all about. God's manifest presence experienced by the entire people. And the feeling that one gets when reading this section is, it worked. They did it. All that effort paid off, and the people really encountered God. But then tragically, Aaron's sons Nadab and Abihu offered what the Bible calls strange or profane fire, which the Lord had not commanded. And as a result, they were consumed and killed by a fire sent by the Lord. For centuries, scholars have contemplated the meaning of this story. What exactly was the sin of Nadab and Abihu? What was this strange fire which they offered, and why did they die because of it? There were, of course, other instances in the Bible where people faced physical death due to their rebellion against God. There was the rebellion of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, who rose up in the wilderness against the authority of Moses and Aaron. God opened up the earth and swallowed Korah and his followers. In the New Testament, there was Ananias and Sapphira, who lied to the Holy Spirit and faced death as a result. It's a serious matter to temper with the holy things of a holy God. As we look more closely at this passage, we see that Aaron's sons showed a reckless and careless attitude about spiritual things, which provoked a harsh and immediate response from God. First of all, it wasn't their job to offer incense to the Lord. Only the high priest Aaron was to perform that function. Next, they used their own censers rather than the God-appointed censer of the high priest. All the vessels of the tabernacle had been anointed with oil, which is a symbol of the Holy Spirit of God and his work. They had no anointing. Therefore, what they were doing was of the flesh and not of the Ruach HaKodesh, or the Holy Spirit. And finally, in violation of Leviticus 16:12, where the high priest was commanded to burn incense on coals taken from the bronze altar, Nadab and Abihu supplied their own fire. It was clearly rejected by the holy and mighty God. The expression strange fire, or in Hebrew, aish zara, means fire unauthorized by God himself. It was only on the yearly Day of Atonement that the high priest could take incense into the Holy of Holies, and even then, there were specific rituals that he was to follow. Now, we don't know what Nadab and Abihu were thinking, but it appears that they were undermined by sinful pride. They wanted to do things their own way, on their own terms. And I submit that these two men symbolize religion on man's terms as opposed to the power of the Holy Spirit. If God did that today, there would probably be many in the church that would be consumed. Finally, chapter 11 outlines God's dietary laws for Israel. Now, I love how the things that Adonai commands are both beneficial to us and they bring him glory at the same time. These laws are good in that if you follow them, you will tend to be healthier. As Moses and Israel observed and obeyed the laws of Kashrut, they were first beneficial to the people, and at the same time, they were honoring to God. The prohibition against eating fat and blood was beneficial first because, well, it's unhealthy to consume fat or blood. But in addition, these were the choicest parts of the sacrifice because in the blood, there is life. And without blood or fat, a person cannot sustain life. Therefore, these were reserved for Adonai, who is the author of life. Our God has a certain way that he wants us to approach him in worship and in relationship. And we must always take special care to ensure that we're not just doing religion or doing things on our own terms in our own way. We must remember to treat a holy God as just that, holy. We also need to ensure that we're giving God his due portion of the fat from our income and blessing that he provides us with. To come to God on our own terms is like offering strange fire. And you see the kind of results that that yields. In the covenant with Israel, the principal role of a priest was to mediate between the people and God, offering sacrifices, and on that basis, extending forgiveness and blessing to the people. Yeshua, who is our ultimate high priest, offered himself as a sacrifice once and for all, and God the Father accepted him, thus paving the way for all who transfer their loyalty to him to be reconciled to the Father and to be blessed with the awesome gift of eternal salvation. I pray that we all do religion God's way and not our way. May Adonai bless you this Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom.